This is GamesAtWork.biz, your weekly podcast about gaming, technology, and play. Your hosts are Michael Martin, Andy Piper, and Michael Rowe. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and are not the opinions of any organization which they have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 350, Fobbing Off Games. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a beautiful Friday afternoon, and we have an amazing show for you. It's a fun show. It's a happy show. It's all about tech and games and talking geekiness with my friends and co-hosts, Michael Martin and Andy Piper. Andy Piper, did I say Piper?
Piper, that's the French one.
How are we doing, Andy?
Amazing show.
Ooh, that pre-show vocalization worked
looking,
out there, didn't
looking,
it?
Looking forward to a good conversation with you both this afternoon, this evening, this morning, whatever day, time of day this is, or people are listening at. I'm doing well. I've been playing with some gadgets this week, which I sometimes do. You may have noticed either from my tweets or just stuff I talk about on the show. So be cracking out the soldering iron this weekend. I've been doing some coding. Ooh. And having a good time. How are you, Michael?
Soldering. That's fun.
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. And I'm very excited about the opportunity, I think it's next May, to check out the Icelandverse directly from RDU Airport here in North Carolina, which will be super deluxe on Icelandic Airlines.
Oh, so they're adding directs. Cool.
Yeah, can get to Reykjavik right from here. So it's like, yahoo, love it.
I mean, I'm just happy with using my my Meta Quest, frankly. So I don't need any of that fancy air travel rubbish.
You don't like actually getting on a conveyance, some sort of transportation thing to experience a blank verse.
Well, when it's all running on the blockchain and I'm using my headset, I think I can still experience it with the lower carbon emissions.
and somebody can like throw ice at you every once in a while, so you get the chill.
Sure, why not? Or it could be like a little pool of hot spring water that I can just sort of dip my toe in and out of whilst staring at pictures.
Get one of those little rubber pools, little rubber kids pools, and splash around in it.
That sounds fun. Makes sense to me. I think this travel thing's overrated. Well, I mean, it's not like we can drive anywhere.
No. Well, and if we could, we'd want to get there with a Toyota remote start if we were allowed to do so, right? And that gets us right to that first article about Toyota's Remote Connect is the technology that they have, which allows you to start your car from your key fob and get going. And the interesting thing about this one is that it will work for a time, and then it won't anymore.
Well, the remote start, you're paying for a service. And see, this is why Rush wrote that song. Red Barichetta. You've got to put that song into the show notes. It's my favorite Rush song. I saw this, and, you know, Having worked in both the software and with the automotive industry, you knew this was coming, right? This had to be coming, where everything is going to be turned into a service, and you're going to pay for every service. And right, if you don't pay, suddenly that feature is going to go away on your vehicle.
So in this case, the sort of amusing slash confusing part of it is that initially this is all tied to which audio package you get when you buy your new Toyota.
Right.
Whether or not you even have the feature. And then when the free subscription runs out to the audio package, then you suddenly can't remote start your vehicle anymore, which is not the most obvious connection to make, but hey-ho.
And the other part of this is it's all because what they've done is they've taken a feature that is, you know, start the car, usually that's a Bluetooth or whatever, and routed it over the internet. why do I need to go to the internet to start my car?
Well, maybe you need to be on the blockchain so that you can verify that you know, you are
exactly.
you and you've got the right NFT that is in your library that you can use. Now, I thought I read something about this somewhere else, that part of the problem is this is the case for new versions of the car, but older versions of the car were having a similar challenge because of like a 3G chip in the fob, and it was like the 3G service wasn't functioning anymore, which again to me is like, why do you need to go over the internet when it should be an RFID connection with authentication between the fob and the car saying,
well, the interesting thing about 3G, and we talked about this a while back, right, I have one of the original Kindles that came with a lifetime free
WhisperNet
connectivity, WhisperNet, right, which was 3G.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so a couple of months back, Amazon was really pushing hard to get you to buy a new one because the 3G infrastructure that the cell carriers were driving is all being shut down.
So no more WhisperNet for you? Is that what we're saying?
I have a newer one that I use, and I just use Wi-Fi.
And ShoutNet.
This reminds me, we haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show, and I haven't had a chance to blog about it yet, but I've got all the images ready. But I got the latest Kindle a little while ago, and then the last couple of months.
Oh.
And the new user experience for setup now is absolutely phenomenal. If you've got a mobile phone or tablet, and you can basically use the Kindle app to set it all up. It's very similar to, you know, bringing an old iPhone near a new iPhone and just having everything transfer over.
That's cool.
You can do all of those sort of settings and stuff and choose what books you want over from your iOS or Android app. It's very cool.
Oh, super cool. I wonder if it would work with a largely dead, mostly dead Kindle, because I came across one of the ones from the kids from a long while ago, and it's got, you know, like half of a screen of one book and half of another book, and that's the e-ink right now, and it doesn't charge. And if it doesn't charge,
doesn't charge.
That's a dead Kindle. But the point is, if you've got an account or an Amazon account already, and you've got the Kindle app on your phone, then it will basically act as a helper to get your e-ink version, with which doesn't have a very easy to use keyboard or anything on it. So
I think we call that a dindle.
Well, it is after Oktoberfest, so you know, maybe
yes,
so.
Yes.
Let's switch gears to our rumor space. We had a little bit of rumor mongering, I suppose, last time around, talking about a few of the predictions around Apple's forays into AR and more. And I think, Michael, you found this article around some of the elements from Apple that is showing that maybe the new headset is even closer than we might imagine.
Well, and what I found really interesting about this article, because we kind of talked about this one or two episodes ago, that Apple tends to project a lot of technology that when you're looking at it independently is interesting, but you don't see how it fits all together. And this article actually took that idea. And thank you, Dan Morin, for using our podcast to make you write this article and said, well, how does that turn into something, right? And so this is saying, what are some of the new technologies that Apple has been introducing over the last couple of years and very recently, and how would they fit together if you are building an AR headset? And so things like SharePlay, right? Things like the Memojis, right? These are all components that can, and all the spatial audio. If you put just those three things together, you now see a very, very compelling AR headset, right? And then you extend that through some of the other technology that Apple's been putting out over the last couple of years, and you can kind of envision, no pun intended, what a Apple AR headset will provide. So I found this really interesting. It kind of fit well into our discussion from a couple of weeks ago, and really does a good job of kind of summarizing it nicely.
I've not had a chance to use SharePlay yet, but that's definitely been one of the things that I've been interested in. And I was on a public transport the other day with my AirPods on and was in the Apple Music app, and it was encouraging me to try out, listen to some of the latest spatial audio. So yeah, it's an interesting set of items of evidence, I guess, pieces of evidence that add up to potentially something bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
and matter of fact, I mean, we could test it right now, because we've been talking about the song Red Barachetta, which is on Apple Music, and we do have a shared messages, there's even a video out there, so we could probably, with a keystroke or two, do a quick test. But we care so much about you, our audience, that we're not going to do that right now.
Well, we could splice it, and we could pause the audience.
Hey, I didn't say we didn't already do it.
Yeah.
So one
by
of the
time
things,
they listen to this.
One of the things that this story also mentions and actually leans quite heavily on is that avatars, they've already got avatars with the Memoji and the animated Memoji that can respond to your face movements and so on as you're creating them.
Right.
And related to that, I came across this yesterday, and it's throwing something in at random here to our otherwise well-organized run of show, where EA have a new patent for, it's a new patent. It was filed in April 2020, but just approved in October this year, for creating avatars for The Sims, based on having images from the real world, and creating a set of features that correspond to that. So in principle, you could play a game like The Sims with characters that very closely, but are still cartoony like The Sims. They're not like, and similar to the Memoji, cartoony rather than, photorealistic. But there was a lot of speculation in the last 24 hours in the space of the internet that I've been inhabiting around EA's interest in this space.
This has existed though for a while, hasn't it? I mean, I realize there's a patent submission and there has to be differentiation for why this patent, but I thought there were situations in other games where the camera would switch on and then form at least the basis,
for sure.
Right?
For sure. So this one goes into specifics around, the character models for particular games as well, I believe. This is not the first time that we've heard of companies wanting to do something in that space. But The Sims is quite a popular game as well. So there's some theories that this could be quite a big sort of push.
I like the flow chart with user satisfied, yes.
And yes. Yes, exactly.
That's good stuff right there. I like it a lot. And there was another part of the article too that talked about the arms, right? So the notion of, we started with Memojis just with heads, right, and the movement, and so the arms, because I noticed that with you guys doing the fist bump with Memojis in our little text chat recently, it's like, wait a minute, when did that come in? And that's actually been around for a while. I just haven't really messed with it so much, and there's more emotive Memojis that are available. So okay, I'll buy it. Great article. The dots are lining up. You want to educate your audience and your potential consumers to get them in the vein.
Yeah, you don't want it to be 100% foreign when they release the product.
Exactly.
And this is why you want to get involved with Emoji, Michael, and Memoji. Get down with the kids. Stay current.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, I do at work, believe it or not. But believe it, games at work. I have a Memoji that I use pretty consistently there, and have since I think the Apple leadership team had their Memoji up on the leadership page on apple.com. That's when I was like, I'm in, go.
How many emoji do you use in an average email?
In an average email? Ooh, that's a good question. In an average email,
it's a trick question.
I'd say.
It's a trick question. Kids don't use email.
Oh, damn. Fell right into that trap, didn't I? Fell right into that trap. So speaking of falling into traps, looking at the Swift Playgrounds and the ability to create things like virtual worlds with traps and games and other stuff in there, virtual, sorry, Playgrounds 4 is live. Live.
Yes.
Live. So what have you created so far, Michael?
Yeah.
Well, so I, you know, this is the reason what last May I ordered the new M1 Apple
thing,
AirPad, Apple iPad Pro, blah 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 blah, right?
Apple Airplane,
and yep. Because my thought was they're going to make it so you can do development. I mean, real development on your iPad. That was the prediction. WWDC came out and they said Playgrounds 4 is going to allow you to develop applications on your iPad, mm-hmm. and actually deploy them to the store. And then the summer happened, no beta. The fall happened, no beta. And literally, I think it was Tuesday of this week, this showed up on my iPad. So Swift Playgrounds 4 is out. This allows you to actually write and deploy to the App Store iOS apps, which is really, really cool. I have taken one of the apps that I've been playing around with for years that's not on the store yet. I use it on test flight and to test some things out. I have put all the code onto my iPad.
Yep.
I have tried to run it.
And?
It's only in Swift and Swift UI.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will not launch because there is a dependent Swift UI package that I forgot to include. So I will do that
sounds probably amazing.
Tonight. But the thing is, I did play around with kind of a sample app, and it works.
Wow.
You know, it works. That is amazing, which is really cool. What I don't know yet, and this is where I, again, thinking ahead, when Apple came out with the beta about a month ago of their CI/CD process. So Xcode Cloud, right? And I'm on the beta for that. My guess is that will then attach to this once it goes GA. And not only will you be able to target iOS apps, i.e. iPad and iOS, iPad and iPhone, but you'll be able to then, if you're using Swift UI, deploy to the Mac too. Because you'll now have a test path for exercising, compiling, and running your continuous integration tests, etc., and simulating environments in order to deploy to the Mac also.
Now, this reminds me of the... the crazy man meme, you know, where the guy stood in front of the whiteboard and the chart with all the bits of paper and, like, you know, kind of like gesticulating wildly, trying to explain stuff. That definitely, yeah, definitely makes me think of what Michael just did there. He was like, "Yep, and we're gonna connect this up, and we're gonna do that, and then this is all definitely gonna happen."
I think they call it a murder board.
Exactly as a murder board, there you go. Exactly as Michael just described, that's what's going to happen. So you heard it here first. Yep. On gamesaware.biz, Apple's future plans.
Yep.
Mr. And Michael Rowe has declared them,
and it makes sense. Scarily enough. But yeah, I'll try on one of our next upcoming shows. I'll give a more in-depth review. I haven't had much time to play with Swift Playgrounds 4, but
so you could,
I will.
AirPlay, what you could do is you could SharePlay what you're doing as you build an app live with us.
And we could do...
We could see that whole process.
We could do dynamic coding with you as you do it.
Yes. One could think of that.
I mean,
you could AirPlay it from your iPad to your Mac desktop, and then use them Skype on your Mac desktop to do our recording, whilst Michael and I have our own iPad. I don't know, yeah, something like that.
And we incorporate it in a Minecraft,
which works really great on an audio-only podcast.
Yeah, right.
So staying true to being audio-only, we're going to describe another thing that's visual, and the next thing that's visual is the Oppo Air Glass, and hopefully the folks over at Oppo, that's how they pronounce themselves too. But
it is,
this particular thing looks kind of sort of a little bit like a monocle, doesn't it? Like a more futuristic monocle, to do what they call it assisted reality.
Actually, yes, and what you're seeing is a really interesting
angle
yeah. of a picture, because really you're seeing the lens. Just to me, it's Google Glass Redux, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing the one lens that covers the one eye, and you're looking down the length of the arm that attaches to the arm of your glasses.
I am so glad you just explained what I'm looking at on my screen to me. on an audio-only podcast. Because I was struggling until I scrolled down a little bit, and even then I was still struggling.
I'm still
until
struggling.
You described exactly what that picture looks like. Yeah, okay, yeah. Right. Yeah,
yeah. If you took that picture, because it was a 3D model, and you turned it 45 degrees to the left, you would see that that arm that looks like now like a little ball attached to the monocle is probably, you know, 5 or 8 centimeters long.
So it does say that also that in this story that there are two designs. So there's one which is this one, which is the silver half frame, and then there is another one which is a black full frame, which I assume is, you know, the
more like glasses,
more conventional. But also that this would fit over the arm of an existing pair of glasses if it needed to, I guess. So so what do we think? So this has been done before, right?
Yeah, it's Google Glass again. Right. And I think it's
with an all eye thing instead of that little screen that popped out with Google Glass.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's excellent for the enterprise space, right? Yeah.
Mike was very excited about the idea of having his eye replaced by this. I can tell. As soon as I said all eye, he was.
I was just imagining having the parrot accessory that you could put on your shoulder, and.
And instead of talk like a pirate day, you'd have
look like a pirate day. Yeah, I missed that this year. I was so upset.
Yeah, me too. Dang, you work.
I'm pretty sure it happens in The Sims as well. Maybe not. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, so moving right along, let's go back in time to some rather older technology for encryption. And this might be intriguing to you, Andy. It certainly was to me, about a method of ensuring that a paper letter was not read. And the process here is called letter locking. And I had never seen or heard of any such a thing before. And there's a YouTube video that goes along with the article around it. And it shows how you slice a portion of the paper, you fold the paper in a proper way, and then you thread that slice of the paper through a series of slits that have been made, which then allows you to have a, not tamper-proof, but a method of knowing if someone did tamper with the message in that packet, that you would know because they had to do something to get into it. And I thought this was like super cool and just highlights how far have we come when you consider the packets that are flying around the internet through the series of tubes all the time.
This is really fun, and it reminds me of when I was about 17 years old at school, and we were hosting, our school was going to be hosting a local area science competition, and one of the other organizers was at a different school, so had to send me the stuff via paper mail back in the day, some of the you know, instructions and so on, and it came in an envelope that was labeled this envelope has been sellotaped twice, and it's particularly low tech, and of course anybody that managed to open it would have just been able to re-sellotape it, but now I'm looking back at that moment in my life, which didn't seem that, I suppose it kind of seemed quite exciting at the time when I was 17 and, you know, going to be running this competition, but looking at this is quite incredible. Really quite incredible. This very intricate paperwork to achieve this letter locking. Amazing. I'm definitely going to watch this video later because I haven't actually gone through it. I've looked at the images in the article and the descriptions and the, you know, the study that MIT, I believe, and King's College London collaborated on to figure out how it was done, So, yeah.
And it goes along with the virtual unfolding that have been done for a variety of other things, too. Like, so scrolls that you can't easily unfold without damaging the paper, how the x-rays have been used to virtually unfold things. So nowadays, you can get into something like this, whereas before, back in the day, so to speak, you couldn't.
Yeah, I thought this was really, really cool. And it actually reminded me, just because, you know, that's how the brain works, of what we would do for, because it's old paper. It got me thinking about, how do you make old paper? Mm-hmm. Did you ever deal with that?
Yeah.
We were doing like shows in high school stuff, and you iron them in water, and you
put it in tea bags. Yeah, you'd make some tea.
Yeah, all kinds of different ways to fade it, but just watching the video and seeing how they did the folds and everything. Yeah, I didn't think of it, you know, to your point, Michael. I thought purely from a tamper resistance perspective. I didn't think of it as an encryption, because let's face it, this was her last letter that she wrote.
Yep.
And if someone did open it, she wouldn't know. but the receiver would, and that's where it really kind of exposes it. And was I thought that was very, very cool. Very cool.
I used to do all kinds of codes and stuff, you know, back when I was younger too, and so that also appealed to me, just the ability to transmit a message, and in this case, like you said, Michael, to know if the message had been intercepted or read. You know, my next thing would have been, it would have been enciphered anyway, so you know, yeah, there you go. All right, so letters, moving them around, doing different things. We have an article here around something called Babel Royale, which is turning Scrabble into Fortnite. And talk about your triple word scores here. This is something rather intriguing, to use Scrabble as a way to have a Scrabble Royale.
Yeah, it's Battle Scrabble. And it's actually really, really neat. I thought this was a great game, especially for people from our audience, right? It combines language, it can provide games, it combines, you know, the competition aspect. So you have multiple players playing Scrabble, you have a set of Scrabble pieces, and you put them down as quickly as possible, new ones show up, etc. And the whole time, just like a Battle Royale game, the board is starting to shrink. And you've got to play your pieces closer and closer to the center. And then while that's happening, you can eliminate other players by playing your words on top of their words. It's really a cool idea.
You've missed the most cool parts of the entire proposition, which is at the beginning of the game, your beginning tile parachutes onto the grid. And that there are optional cosmetics for your tiles.
Of course there are.
So you can have them camouflaged or otherwise designed.
Yeah.
Those are the things that really catch my attention much more than the overall mad scramble battle aspect. I messaged a group of friends about this earlier, and with the recognition that one of them would almost certainly slaughter all of us because she's so good at word games. Regardless of whether, you know, you can manage the space and all that stuff. But yeah, I've definitely, it's a free game on Steam for Mac and Windows, and I've definitely downloaded that already. I haven't tried it yet. It looks really fun.
Sticking with Epic here for just a minute from the Fortnite reference, we now have another article that's talking about 15 free games that are being given away during the holiday season here. And the first one of these was, are we on the first still? No, we're on this like the second or third day, aren't we? Second day.
This was, the first one was Shenmue 3. And then, what did we say before the show? Ninja something? Neon Ninja? No, Neon something or other.
Neon something, and I've already shut that machine down.
Yeah, there you go. me too.
I didn't want to get distracted.
The thing that, you know, they're a couple of years old, the games. In fact, more than a couple of years in the case of Shenmue, but it's you know, free stuff is cool and nice. And my approach with this, as with Xbox games with Gold or Game Pass, not Game Pass, but the ones where games with Gold, where if you're already paying and they give you a couple of games a month, if you if you at least click to download them, then they're going to be in your library forever, even after they've gone, after the offer's gone. So,
so you have to act quickly, right, is the whole point.
Yeah, I mean, whether I'm going to play them, that's the other question, right? And I'm getting to the point where there's far too many things to play already, but it's always nice to have some of those things available. So, yeah.
Very cool.
It annoys me that they all require a different set of launchers. So you've got your Steam and your Epic Launcher and your, one of the other big companies that have their own launchers and libraries and things. Why it's not more integrated, but it's just the same as all the TV networks and, you know, cable channels and stuff, isn't it? So,
oh yes. Well, speaking of cable channels and TV networks,
well, indeed. But just before that, have either of you use Netflix, and have you tried the Netflix game stuff?
No, not yet. No. The Netflix of games is what you're suggesting, right?
Well, I'm just saying there are Netflix now do games, and on Apple, of course, everything has to go through the App Store, right? So you can't just start playing games through the Netflix app. So what you do is go and have to get redirected to the App Store to get some free games from Netflix.
But in a way, that sounds like it's better, because that gets rid of having yet all these additional launchers. You just go to the App Store.
I agree, it does, but it's kind of weird the way that they've had to do it, because of the way there was a story the other week about Microsoft offering AAA games to Apple if let them, you know, do the Xbox thing, then it would all have had to be native or you know, individual icons on your iOS screen. So I don't know, it seems to be a pendulum that swings around this stuff.
Well, you know, Bill Gates famously said there's two ways to make money in software: bundling and unbundling. And app stores are bundles, right? Or launchers are bundling, app stores unbundling.
Very interesting. I'll have to take a look at that. I was making a very lame joke there about Netflix and the gaming structure that they've done. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to give a look to that. Andy, is that something that you find just straight off the Netflix app, or do you find it within the their webpage and then you're?
No. It's in the app. It's in the app. But it's, I think in the US it might even have its own like section, whereas in the UK it doesn't. You have to kind of, I don't know, there's a difference between the way it's been launched outside of the US or between Android and iOS. But there's nothing compelling in there for me in the Netflix offering at the moment. But
it's a start.
You can see why they want your loyalty. You know, everybody's trying to buy your loyalty with freebies is the point here, right? You know, that's why launch the Epic Launcher, because they're giving away free games today. Otherwise, they very rarely launch the Epic Launcher. And I don't see their storefront, and I don't, you know, see all of this other notifications that they're trying to push me through the Epic Launcher.
But now you do.
That's my behavior. Other people are more into Epic and play Fortnite all the time. That's fine. But, you know, I use Netflix for watching some shows, not all shows. I'm not going to stay in Netflix longer to play games, because one, it's going to take me out on my platform of choice to play the game. And second of all, that is not a meaningful offer to me, but to other people it might be.
Well, a free show, which, Michael, that's where you were going a moment ago, that is available on Apple TV Plus that I know we've all watched, Ted Lasso, has a little free Christmas special. You know, 'tis the season for Christmas specials. Got to get that Doctor Who one in there soon, too. And this one's called The Missing Christmas Mustache. And apparently, it is, they say in the article, it's a claymation thing along the lines of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which I will take slight exception to, because that wasn't really claymation. That was stop action. But, you know, never you mind. Right? It's a...
Well, that may be a problem with the article.
Yeah.
But because it does give you the same feel, and by the way, the nice thing about this one is you can watch it on YouTube. You don't have to launch Apple TV to watch it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and again, I mean, that's a classic giveaway to draw you in. By the way, Ted Lasso is the best. It's such a great show. Deserves all the awards it's had, and hugely awesome show. So I'm really excited about this one, and that's something that I shall probably watch this evening after the show on YouTube on my Xbox. Just to mix things up.
What are you doing on Android? iPad.
Why not? I could do that, couldn't I? Yeah.
All right. So last up for us here, Michael, please introduce this because you shared it with me. I have found it so delightful. Go.
Well, I saw this online today. I know we all enjoy watching Stephen Colbert.
I certainly appreciate the man. Yes.
Yes. And if you've watched him for any period of time, you know he is a huge, huge fan of The Lord of the Rings. I believe the correct phrase is he can quote you chapter and verse from any of the books, including the Silmarillion, on the history of the Tolkien's creation of The Lord of the Rings. And so since we had a giant celebration recently for the Harry Potter movies, he was upset that there was no celebration for the 20th anniversary of the release of the Lord of the Rings movie. And so he has put out a video celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Lord of the Rings movies, the greatest trilogy of all time.
And I was finding the appearances in there of not just the actors that were involved in the movies, which was certainly fun. I liked the books better. Let's be honest and direct about that. But I thought with Anna Kendrick showing up in them, I thought that was great, good fun. And having taken the time a long while ago of creating an Elvish English dictionary, which I still have, I also appreciated that there was some rapping done in Elvish in this video too.
Yes.
So
I'm not keen on watching this particular video because I don't want to spoil my enjoyment when I finally get around to watching the 20-year-old trilogy of The Lord of the Rings. I'm looking forward to watching it in another 20 years when it's really hit true vintage status. So I don't want to watch some silly YouTube video of Stephen Colbert in the meantime. I'm saving myself.
I just remembered, and I couldn't believe it, but it was roughly 20 years ago today, not literally today, but you know, I was doing a Beatles reference for a second there, that Michael, you and I and others took a mandatory offsite work meeting to watch the original Lord of the Rings release.
Yep, absolutely. And it was a decent crowd that we had at this mandatory offsite meeting. And I'm sure that we discussed some business related activities in order to ensure that it was a working meeting and required by all the attendees. So
yes,
it's 20 years. How about that, Michael? That's just crazy, isn't it?
Crazy talk.
So. Well, folks, I think that's where we are parked for this edition of Games That Worked Up is. What are you celebrating from 20 years ago? What should we be celebrating? What should we wait to celebrate a la Andy? We'd love to hear from you. Share it with us here as we are winding down the year 2021 and getting ready to embark on yet another year's worth of Games That Worked Up is. We'll be happy to pick them up, take them up, and talk them through.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll have one more show this year. Not committing to two, but one more. And should be a fun one coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about, you know, what fun games you played this year, maybe. It would be a good topic.
Yeah, reindeer or otherwise.
So,
all right.
We hope everybody have a good one, and we'll talk to you next time at gamesatwork.biz.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye. You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming, technology, and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.